Welcome to The Softer Side of Finance, a weekly show where Anders Leo Lindberg explains how the finance function can create more value through the human dimensions of people, organisation and culture, with a global audience on LinkedIn Audio. Recorded as a live session, anyone can join in. Raise your hand and the stage is yours. Fancy joining Anders? Head over to LinkedIn and sign up for the next event. For now, here's what you've missed so far.
All right, let's kick things off for another episode of The Softer Side of Finance. My name is Anders Leo Lindberg, and I'll be your host today, as in all other days. Today's topic is why simple plans are always better. Part of the season one of The Softer Side of Finance, 10 Commandments of Planning and Forecasting is what we're talking about, helping companies, all of you, to take an approach to planning and forecasting. We'll talk through the article, A Simple Plan is the Best Way to Achieve Your Target. It's back from September of last year. It's part of the 10 Commandments of Planning and Forecasting. Thou shalt always aim for simplicity, is the wording of this commandment. How can this be put into practice? When organizations have so many moving parts and complexity is baked into the planning and forecasting process, it's actually not as difficult as it sounds. Simplicity is the natural outcome when planners avoid blending, target setting, forecasting, and resource allocation, and recognize that accuracy is not an important goal. Commandments that we've discussed earlier in this series. Although complexity of most organizations is undeniable, a complex process is prone to error, and a complex plan risks different stakeholders picking up and choosing their goals in an effort to simplify targets. Every time we cascade something in the organization, there's a risk that it's interpreted in a different way than what we intended. The bigger the organization gets, the more risk of misinterpretation, the more risk that we don't execute as intended, leaving even more risk that we don't get the results that we wanted, and the strategy doesn't deliver the return on investment that we've promised to the markets and to our shareholders. I think we've all seen this. I think we've all experienced this. I think it's a very common phenomenon in business. That's why the simpler we can make it, the better, obviously. And academic research backed this up. It's a study of simple versus complex forecasting. Green and Armstrong, 2015, if you really want to go down into the details, there's a link in the article if you want to study that study. They found that complex forecasts are not more accurate than simple forecasts. It also found that complexity can increase forecast error significantly. The authors also suggest that the main dubious benefits of complex forecasts are to hand decision makers the numbers they want to see. I'll just repeat this. The authors also suggest that the main dubious benefit of complex forecasts are to hand decision makers the numbers they want to see and to satisfy clients who are reassured by incomprehensibility. If I could run a poll in this room here asking you how many of you believe the forecasting process and the planning around it and budgeting even is an exercise to get to a number that management is satisfied with, I bet 90% of you would agree. Maybe you can just give a thumbs up if I'm right in that assumption right now. At least it's what I see and hear in all companies. Simplicity is fundamental to successful planning, forecasting. It reduces error, confusion, and risk. And it strengthens the underlying assumptions. It improves scrutiny as those who approve the plan understand what they're reading, rather than rubber stamping the headline figures for ease. It improves trust as everyone involved can see where the forecast comes from. Simple plans also make it easier for the business to see key milestones clearly and react to changing circumstances. I actually doubt, as the authors of the study also found, that there is any real benefit from having a complex plan. Remember, an exercise in getting to the number that Madison wants to see holds no value. We should rather show management the most likely number that they are going to get if we continue as is, executing our plans, following up on actions, and so on. They might not be happy with that number, and that's fine, but it's not the number's fault. It's because we don't have the right plans or actions to achieve a number they'll be happy with. Of course, it could also be once in a blue moon that they're actually very happy with the number that we forecast and we don't need to make any changes. But don't change the forecasted number to satisfy management. Challenge management to say, okay, we have a gap, $1 million. We are not satisfied with that gap. But the number is what the number is. What are the actions? What are the plans that we will put on top of what we're already doing to close that $1 million gap? That's what management needs to be discussing. Those are the decisions they need to be making, not what assumptions to change or what BU, business unit, or division, whatever, that should change the number. Doesn't make sense, right? So we need to keep management accountable to putting plans to bridge any gaps. So what does a simple plan need? We have a few items here. First, communication goes both ways. Explain effectively how the planning process works, why particular information is needed, what the forecasting models are doing, and what the final plan means. Communication is not a one-way process, and it's essential to check that the details have been understood. Right? So when you've explained the plan, the forecast to management, make sure you check for their understanding. Are we all aligned on what we're saying here? Do you agree that we have the right plans in place? If not, okay, what should we do instead? Come out of the room, not with a different number, but with a bridge to close any gaps if needed. Number two, jargon is the enemy of simplicity. Right? So if you only speak finance, it's going to be challenging to convince business leaders to do anything differently. About acronyms, abbreviations, and accountants speak. Sorry, I don't mean to be derogatory towards accountants. It's just that, you know, sometimes we speak in terms that others don't understand, just as well as someone in engineering or in marketing might speak a language that we don't understand. That could easily happen as well. Accruals, a bit debits and credits, just to give some examples, they are pure gibberish, at least to some non-finance professionals. So we need to simplify our language, and then we need to learn the language of other business leaders to make it simple for them to collaborate fully in the planning process and the subsequent execution. So we must find the language that we can all speak and understand to simplify the whole process and ensure we leave the room with an aligned understanding. Next one, show your workings. Transparency makes all the difference. Structure your planning process so that the macros and algorithms and whatever not used are simple for everyone to understand, even if their operation is complex. If the models are understood, the output is trusted and they can be more easily refined and improved. Now, this is a, let's call it a dual-edged sword. Because in one hand, yes, they need to understand the models and how we've arrived at the numbers. But on the other hand, we're not going to walk into a meeting with business leaders with highly complex flowcharts, tables full of numbers, putting it all on the screen, saying, here's the process, here's all the numbers, transparency delivered. I think we can all play out in our minds how that meeting is going to go. They don't understand what we're saying. They're zoomed out. They're not listening to us. Right? So yes, they need to understand. We need to communicate it in a way that is so simple that even if we're talking about an algorithm, they understand how it works and they trust the numbers. Because it's true, if they don't understand, they're not going to buy into the numbers. They're going to challenge you. They're going to push you. You're not going to have a constructive, collaborative discussion. Right? So it's I'm not saying it's easy. It's a dual-edged sword. Finally, tell a compelling and connected story. Can you simplify the company's story so that everyone knows the part they play, and the relationship between each of the parts? Consider the film adaptation of The Lord of the Rings. The central threads of the three volumes were drawn out to tell a clear and compelling tale in a new format. The individual goals of the characters that contributed to the successful execution of the overall plan were clear. Perhaps not at the very first beginning, but at least during the first of the three volumes, it became clear what each member of the party set out to do. This is what a simple forecast should deliver. And that's where the cascading effect comes in. Every time you cascade, it needs to be clear for the next level of the organization exactly what they're supposed to do and what their role is in fulfilling the overall strategy or plan. Because if it's not, you are not going to get the intended outcome. All right. Take a moment. Let these four sink in. Communication goes both ways of the plan. Jargon is the enemy of simplicity. Don't just speak finance language. Show your workings, but do it in a simple way so that they still understand what you're saying and tell a compelling, connected story when you present the plan and the forecast. So how can we reap the rewards of simplicity? Now we logically understand the benefits. We understand the challenges we will face from the opposite complex plan. But of course, we still need to reap the benefits. Logically understanding something doesn't mean it automatically happens. So, quite apart from the reliability and ease of management of forecasting processes and plans, simplicity helps to build a collaborative, cross-functional culture for effective planning and goal setting. One of the most significant cultural outcomes of simplifying the process and the plan is trust in the forecast. Every function can see where they fit in the overall journey and how their performance interacts and impacts others. In practice, what does this look like? It could be a sales force, probably targeted and rewarded for bringing in the right mix of orders to optimize production and use scarce resources effectively. Sales and operations planning. Simplicity removes any ambiguity about why a particular target has been set. It could be an individual function having the confidence to flag a warning, knowing that their input is trusted and changes can be made to avoid disaster. It could be a whole company pivoting together in the face of new opportunities and threats. In a time where change is the only constant, this is the only way forward. I guess some of my key questions for you. How have you simplified your planning and forecasting processes? What are some of the benefits you've seen? I can say from my perspective, at least, I've tried to create simpler processes for forecasting and planning and budgeting. It's not easy. Now I'm sitting here talking about, hey, you know, it's the obvious truth. We should all do it. And why haven't you done it already? But it is not easy. It's actually quite difficult to do. That's why we need simple approaches on how to do this. You know, splitting out the process of budgeting into target force forecasting and resource allocation makes a lot of sense. But it's also something as simple as when you want to execute a strategy, you document your assumptions like we talked about earlier in one of the previous episodes. Set up confidence intervals for those assumptions to move in between. Set up tracking mechanisms to track those assumptions in as close to real time as possible. And whenever reality moves differently than the assumptions, have a conversation. Are we still on the right track? Should we do something differently? And then, of course, on a monthly basis, you can confirm your performance, your performance reviews, quarterly basis as well. And if at that point, all assumptions are tracking along well, but performance is not where it's expected to be, maybe you miss some assumptions in your plan, or the assumptions you made had some inbuilt errors. To me, at least, that's the very most simplest way of documenting and tracking your strategy and taking action whenever needed. So just think about for a moment, how is the planning and forecasting process looking like in your company right now? Are there any actions you can take in your own role to simplify things just a little bit? Now is a great time to think about this because budgeting is still far away. You may have weekly, monthly, quarterly forecasting cycles. So you might still have a forecasting cycle going on right now or coming up. That's okay. But if you never stop to reflect on how to do things differently, that's when you just get stuck in, we can even call it the hamster wheel. So let that be my final remark to all of you. Just this week, try to improve a little bit in your planning process and then report back. How did it go? Feel free to send me a message or maybe even post on LinkedIn. This is crucial for finance and FP&A teams to get done because we spend so much time working in these processes and a lot of the work we do is not value adding. So it's definitely not where we want to be. So hope that you can find ways to spend less time here and more time improving performance together with the business stakeholders that you support. Thank you everyone for being here today for the Softer Side of Finance. Hope to see you again next week as we continue with the 10 commandments of planning and forecasting. And do remember to catch the podcast on your favorite podcast channels. Just search the Softer Side of Finance and you will find it there as well. You can also find the hashtag Finance Master podcast as well, where we talk about wider trends in finance and accounting. So lots of opportunities to listen in and to participate. Thank you, everyone, and see you again next week. Have a great day ahead of you.
You've been listening to The Softer Side of Finance, a weekly show recorded live on LinkedIn Audio. Don't forget to subscribe to stay updated on how the finance function can create more value. And why not join Anders every Monday on LinkedIn to share your own views and appear in the next episode?